हरे वासुदेवाय।
श्रीभागवतम सिक्स्थ चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 4 इन द मैटर ऑफ क्रिएशन ऑफ द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म Translation into our book by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When the 23 principal elements were set in action by the will of the Supreme, the gigantic universal form or the Vishwarupa body of the Lord came into existence. The Virarupa or Vishwarupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, which is very much appreciated by the impersonals, is not an eternal form of the Lord. It is manifested by the supreme will of the Lord after the ingredients of material creation. Lord Krishna exhibited his Virat or Vishwarup to Arjuna just to convince the impersonals that he is the original personality of God. Krishna exhibited Virat Rupa. It is not that Krishna was exhibited by the Virat Rupa. The Virat Rupa is not, therefore, an eternal form of the Lord exhibited in the spiritual sky. It is a material manifestation of the Lord. The Archa Vigraha, or the worshipful deity in the temple, is a similar manifestation of the Lord for the neophytes. But in spite of their material touch, such forms of the Lord as the Virat and the Archa are all non-different from his eternal form as Lord Krishna. Translation. When the 23 principal elements are set in action by the will of the Supreme, the gigantic universal form of the Vishnu body of the Lord came into existence.
Seeing that were very much part of this material world. We very much interact with our body, we very much feel that the body is intimately connected with us. We feel about the functions of the mind, our function, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we're willing, that our intellect is working everything out that is going on day to day, and also dabbling in future events and even trying to step onto a higher platform of spiritual realization. In fact, the living entity, Satchidananda, has become totally absorbed in his relationship with me. Body is possessing and the material world. Now this is very strange, as he actually has nothing to do with this material world. The nature of the material world and the nature of the living entity are completely as opposite as can be. Living entity is complete in himself, although very minute. He lives forever. He's brilliant as many suns. And he really has no part of this material world. Yet somehow, due to a desire to be some kind of a godhead, some kind of a controller, he's been brought in contact with the material nature. The soul actual living entity, he can never be contaminated by the material nature. He can never take on the qualities of the material nature. He's always pure at all stages. Never cut, he's never widowed, he never dies. But the consciousness, living entity's consciousness, is under the sanction of Krishna, allowed to be influenced by Avijja, who is one of the principal Shaktis of the Personality of Godhead. And thus, under the influence of Avijja, we actually start to feel a relationship with this material world, with this body. And then we merely go on thinking that this is everything. Above, who continues to experience different forms of distress, continuously experiencing death, birth, old age and disease, still we somehow decide to make the best use of bad breath. Well, it can't be perfect. But this is not a fact. It can be perfect. Living entity is perfect when he's rightly situated. When he gives up the false connection with this material world and everything which goes along with it. As it's been pointed out here, there is no more than these 23 individuals. That's it. That is the entire material creation. Mahatattva, and it reacts with all of these other 22 ingredients, then we end up with what we see. But even that does not happen without the Personality of Godhead and his shadow of his consort, in the form of Kala Devi, actually entering in the material world and giving life to the whole creation, setting everything in motion. Besides that, the living entities also enter into the material world and giving a chance to take up action. Otherwise, they're sitting in a state of slumber, state of trance, state of forgetfulness within the body of Mahavishnu. The chances of the living entity, once he has made the bad decision, become an imitation Krishna. Chances of him ever becoming free are non-existent. He has no chance. He becomes a nitya bada, eternally conditioned. Such a big mistake to leave Krishna's service behind and to enter into this state of darkness, material consciousness. Such a big mistake. But Krishna is so merciful, expands himself in so many forms, simply facilitate living entity being able to come back to his constitution. Because he knows that this small living entity has no chance by himself. No chance. Material nature is so powerful. It's one of the Shaktis of the Lord. That once she has put you under her spell of illusion, there's absolutely no chance of getting out. There's a very vague possibility that one may decide everything is one, and thus for some time you get a break from having to take birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. But that won't last. The very inert nature the inner nature of the divinity is to be conscious, to be active. So here we turn. Take up activities into the world. Krishna is not abandoned. Living entity has abandoned Krishna. Krishna has not abandoned. Very kindly, he could have just born him into a state of ignorance. Just lie there, eternally. But he very kindly keeps on generating the material world. Keeps on entering it and generating life so that living entities can have experiences and may be fortunate enough to come in contact with the Shastras, with the pastimes of the Personality of Godhead, or especially with the Vaishnavas. And thus they may turn a little bit. They may be pulled out of their dark state. It is very rare, but the Lord is making all endeavor for this to happen. There is a price on being able to once again go back to the spiritual world. That price is surrender. Surrender is something which we are very used to. We're doing all the time, but only to be cheap. All the time we're being convinced to surrender to this or that, or we're being forced to surrender by the demands of the senses, by the demands of the elements, by the demands of other living entities. But we're not actually, our experience so far of surrender is that we get cheap. Whatever we surrender to, we get cheap with that. Every step of the way. Cheated, cheated, cheated. Now, when the living entity receives the Course's mercy from Vaishnava, he's again requested to surrender. Sometimes he's been requested to surrender his money. Sometimes he's been requested to surrender his activities, his country, or whatever it may be. Sometimes he's requested to surrender some of his time, and so on. But the Vaishnava comes and tells him, Sarvadam mam bhoik sajha, mamekam sharanam vaja, hum vam sarvapa, mokshyavitsa. Surrender everything. Vaishnava comes and requests to surrender everything. And in return, then leave this place of misery and go to that transcendental abode where there is no more death, old age or disease. The one can eternally engage in service. But once again, we're being requested to surrender. But our only remembrance of surrender is that every time we cheat. So, we're taught that we have nothing to do with this world. That all it appears that this body and the things around it are connected to us, actually they're not. These are all created by Krishna. Have nothing do with us whatsoever. Only by our choice will we be put in a position to identify, falsely identify, and believe that this is something to do. Possible to surrender when there is faith. Without faith, cannot be any surrender. Sometimes we find surrender by force, and then we become exploited. But actual surrender is only possible when there is faith. For Krishna and his devotees, Vaishnavas, they attempt to convince the living entity, to instill the living entity with faith. But if you surrender unto Krishna, then you will return to your constitution. And thus we find many books of the Bhagavad Gita. We don't find many books of the Bhagavad Gita, but similar to Bhagavad Gita, so many shastras, giving detailed explanation of this material world and proving in so many ways how the living entity has nothing to do with this. It's alien. We're not that body. All of this is to help the living entity to come to a stage of having faith that if I leave this material world behind, if I surrender to Krishna, then everything will be perfect. But still, due to long period of contamination, long period of association with the material world, with our distrusting nature which we have developed, then we do not accept. And thus we struggle with the processes. So Krishna has made it more easy by giving sadhu sangha. You associate with the Vaishnavas, especially those Vaishnavas who have an understanding that this whole material world is false. A realized understanding, a factual belief. We have faith in the words of the Shastra, in the words of the spiritual masters. Have faith that I have nothing to do with this material world, but I have everything to do with the spiritual world. And if I simply willingly surrender everything. Everything means what? It means nothing. Because none of this material world belongs to us. We're simply surrendering everything means surrendering our false misconception, our false idea that I have connection with this material. Once we become enlightened, once you become aware that none of this has anything to do with me, then surrendering will not be difficult. Once I understand that I made a mistake in identifying this body, mind, intellect, senses, and everything connected to that, then the path of surrender is open. So to develop that faith is the very first step of becoming free from the material entanglement. The very first step of surrender. But Srila Rupa Goswami, he hasn't considered that this is a very elevated situation. Actually, we have to associate with the Vaishnavas. We have to learn how to sing the glories of the Vaishnavas and from them how to sing the glories of Krishna. Harinam Sankirtan. We have to learn 9 processes of devotional service. We have to learn these processes so we can actually take up our eternal object of service. So we find great personalities such as Srila Prabhupada. They very much emphasize political points of surrender, very much point out and prove quite beyond a doubt how the material world is placed. But they know full well that even a living entity gets this information because he is an offender at the lotus feet of Krishna by having given up Krishna's service, by having committed atmahatya, suicide, plunging into the darkness of ignorance quite willingly. And he's an offender of the lotus feet. So he will get no taste out of hearing how this material world is placed, out of simply understanding that I have to see the Harinam Sankirtan. The Vaishnavas bring this wonderful activity into this material world of being able to glorify personality of God, being able to actually take up devotional service once again. Make no mistake, studying the 23 elements in the material world is not devotional service. Certainly Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become learned in the Bhagavad Gita with the specific intention that we could convince other living entities that they have no connection with this material world and consciousness. Madhvakta! But the point is to become a devotee of Krishna, not to become very learned in how the material world is created and destroyed. It is nations, and although a knowledge of nations is not a bad thing, it is not the thing to become absorbed. Temporary. It's temporary. So we don't give great emphasis to meditating on the material. Yes, for the grossly foolish, for the Maya bodies, they do meditate on the material. On the Bharata Rupa of the Lord, which is real in a sense, but not eternal. But it does not inspire within one the mood of bhakti. It inspires one the mood of fear, the mood of regret. Why am I here? But it doesn't inspire the mood of bhakti. We saw. When Arjuna was shown the Bharata Rupa, Vishnu Rupa, he became frightened and prayed, "Oh, please show me that form, that transcendental form, the four-armed form, and then the two-armed form." That simply seeing that Vishnu Rupa brought great fear into the heart of Arjuna. Yes, that is good in some circumstances. For the gross and foolish person to be fearful of God. That is not the path of bhakti. The path of bhakti yoga is developing a loving relationship with God. When something is done out of fear, that's not real surrender. Although because it's the surrender is directed in some way towards the personality of Godhead, there's every chance, the possibility that one will come in contact with the Vaishnavas and be able to further that mood of surrender in their association, that it becomes a mood of loving surrender, full of faith that yes, I'm not giving up anything of any use, I'm returning to my constitutional position. by associating with the Vaishnavas, by glorifying Krishna and his devotees. This is actually the Bhakti Yoga process. Process which Srila Prabhupada gave us. Chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, dance before the deities, associate with the Vaishnavas with all these activities. Distribute transcendental activities and glories of the Lord. Engage in Sankirtan. Without the activity of Sankirtan, without passing on to the other living entities what one has received, glories of the Lord, the truth of the eternal position of the living entity. How to engage in service. Without passing these on, then factual realization does not take place within the heart of the living entity. Thus the darkness of ignorance does not become dissipated. One simply takes on another selfish position, keeping everything to oneself. And that does not bring about pure devotion. Srila Prabhupada said that if we only know that we must chant Hare Krishna, then tell others that chant Hare Krishna. Simply by that activity, Krishna from within the heart will give everything else. He is so much overwhelmed when his devotee glorifies him, when his devotee helps him in his cause, bring all the living entities back to the shelter of his lotus feet. He is so much overwhelmed that he actually gives himself. And this is the evidence, the proof that this is devotional service. Krishna is controlled by bhakti. So we have to come onto this bhakti platform. We must be careful not to just become stranded and simply trying to understand, become the knower of the spiritual world, become the knower of the material world, become the knower of the living entity and the super soul. We actually have to step in to the spiritual realm. It is one of loving reciprocation between the Lord and his devotee. For each step we take in that direction, she takes 100 steps. Says Saradamam Parichaja, but actually the fact is that you just try to surrender. Krishna is so overwhelmed, he'll come bless you. Dharma started to Maitreya and Vidura. Vidura started to inquire from Maitreya. He actually wanted to inquire about the transcendental activities of his pastimes. But he felt that it was his duty to start off by inquiring such matters which would help condition him to see the place. So he made these inquiries of how the material world was created, how do living entities end up here, how does the Lord enter into the material universes. He made all these inquiries simply for the sake of the condition of the entities. Krishna was sitting there just before he was about to depart. After his manifested pastimes. And he was speaking to Dal and Vidura. You may say immediately, what, Vidura wasn't there? But Vidura was there in the sense that Krishna wanted to speak to him. Maitreya happened to come along by the course of the mercy of the Lord. He needed someone to carry his message to Vidura, and Maitreya got that opportunity. And thus was able to step into the realm of pure devotional service by that sense of becoming the messenger of Krishna. Previously Krishna had spoken to Lord Brahma in more slokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam in chapter 7, Hamnevasanevalve. In a certain mood, and he wanted to reveal to Uddhava and Vidura a more intimate understanding of those questions. So in these chapters just now we're hearing the extended understanding of the first book of the Chattisvati, Amayvashi. And it will go on to pointing out how anything which is not in relationship to Krishna has no reality. Go on to showing how we must enter into eternal service of Krishna, and then finally the real process of how to enter into eternal association with Krishna is by accepting a devoted Krishna as one's spiritual master. Diksha and Sukshita. By accepting the Vaishnavas, accepting their guidance, then all of these things become factual realization. Later on in Bhagavatam we will hear the conversation between Krishna and Uddhava, who was a very intimate servant of Krishna, to whom he gave a much more intimate understanding of the chapters. But if Srimad Bhagavatam may appear to be dwelling on the material nature and the activities of the creation and destruction of the material world, but actually it is always seen the glorious Goloka Premadhani. This Srimad Bhagavatam has come from Goloka. This Harinam Sankirtan from Goloka. This process of Bhakti Yoga precipitately given by Srila Rupa Goswami, his nectar of devotion, has come from Goloka. And all of the wonderful commentaries on the Bhagavatam given by the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come from Goloka. We must really learn how to take shelter, how to surrender. Not by some false idea that I give up this, I give up that, perform this sacrifice or that sacrifice, this austerity or that austerity. It may be all very nice in the very beginning. One becomes a little detached to his attachment to material nature. This is the beginning of devotions. To actually start tasting and association with Vaishnava. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Ram. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the worshipping of the deity, taking of the shadow. This is what we actually have to learn from the Vaishnava. Then the heart will become illuminated. Then it will become flooded with love of God. And it will become absorbed in eternal service. This whole difficult place, its material nature, it appears so complex. Just read these descriptions, such a complex situation. Just become as insignificant as the water which is contained in the small footprint of a cup. Just step over it and not take any more notice. Become lost in trying to understand it, but instead go on into the spiritual realm. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. The whole world is created by Krishna out of his consciousness. Nothing is going on in the material world by the sanction of the world. But not only about the sanction, it's expanded into every atom and between every atom. Controlling in every way. From him comes remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. The Paramahamsa, that's what we see. And this is all the course of mercy of the Lord in the beginning. Going beyond that, as one becomes more absorbed in devotional service and then more advanced, then we find that the Bhagavatam is actually always singing the glories of God. So at the moment we're following, quite rightly so, the direction of the chariots of how to understand the Bhagavatam. But as the Bhagavatam starts to reveal itself by the mercy of those chariots, then one will start to understand deeper and deeper aspects of the same Bhagavatam and understand why it's considered to be no different to our language. Paramahamsas are not sahajas. Sahaja is somebody who thinks everything is to be enjoyed, even though he's taken on the disguise of a devotee. He thinks everything is for his satisfaction. But a Paramahamsa is thinking that everything is for satisfaction of Krishna. And so, for him to hear of Krishna's activities in any way brings pleasure. They may not be the most intimate activities of Krishna, but he's still fully happy to hear those. And he's able to always clearly understand the meaning of Govinda and Krishna. This is only mercy of Krishna, forces him to Krishna, and his parts and passes. When Lord Chaitanya went to South India, he met the Brahmin who was not expert in pronunciation of the stokas of Gita, but he had been advised by his spiritual master anyway to study Bhagavad Gita. So his other student brothers, his blood brothers, used to make fun of him, even though he wasn't very learned. But Lord Chaitanya, when he met that Brahmin, immediately went to the universe. But that Brahmin was continuously shedding tears when he would take up the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because he was remembering Krishna was driving Arjuna's chariot. Krishna was advising Arjuna. Krishna was helping Arjuna in so many ways. This loving relationship he was remembering. But how merciful he was. He may not have been able to explain the intricacies of how the material world is created and destroyed. But he had understood the essence. Surrender to Krishna, service. And beyond that, to appreciate Krishna's wonderful qualities in us. So he was crying tears of ecstasy. The factual devotee, one who is situated, as you pointed out, the Paramahamsa, in the topmost platform, that's how they're seeing any description of Krishna. They're seeing their loving Lord of Goloka. Yes. Sages of Namaswanda, one of the examples of the Nirvites attaining perfection by associating with Sri Goswami and by hearing the transcendental activities of the Guru. There were so many of them that it's impossible to answer such a general question, at which stage each of them stepped on to the transcendental level. So at that point, some may or may not have been on that transcendental level. But by continuing to hear the Bhagavatam from Sri Goswami, they will step on to the Paramahamsa stage, saying that they appear to be coming a little bit tired of hearing about the creation. So they asked to hear about the activities of the doer, which now we hear in the third canto. How the material universe is created. It's what we're hearing right now. The very thing which you're saying, they became tired of hearing. We're hearing. But as the Bhagavatam, as we go through the Bhagavatam, we hear these same things over and over again, but in different mood. Deeper mood and deeper mood and deeper mood. So really the sage is a sage, Sri Goswami. Please describe his other activities. The Guru is a very great Paramahamsa, intimate devotee of Krishna. In his form as Yamaraj, he's given one of the most, if not most important posts in the material world because of his intimate connection with Krishna, supervising the living entities' punishment and placement into their next body. This is no ordinary service, but only a very advanced personality can handle such a service. So they wanted to hear about such a personality, such an intimate devotee. What they want to hear is the doer's questions. Want to hear the doer's realizations. So it will go on through the bottom time. As long as we're looking with our external vision at the different subject matters of the Bhagavatam, then we will not be able to realize the intimate mood which is there in the Bhagavatam. Here we do it when he leaves Uddhava in such a state of ecstasy, topmost level. Hair standing on end, waist choked, tears are flowing from his eyes. But control himself, form of self, and make inquiries about these subject matters, simply to help illuminate this. Here we have the inquiries of such an intimate devotee of Krishna. And so we get a much more intimate understanding of how Krishna is present everywhere. How merciful he is upon the living entities. The mood which we must learn to understand, not the so-called subject matter, but the intimate mood of the different devotees here in the Bhagavatam. Anyone can chant Hare Krishna, but if a mood is not there of glorifying Krishna, that chanting will not be very elevated. Haridas Thakur is chanting the same Maha Mantra, so is the newest neophyte we have met on the street and asked him to start chanting. What is the difference? It's the same Maha Mantra. They're using their tongue to chant it, so is he. They're using their ears to hear, and so is he. The difference is the mood, personality. Bhagavatam can never be understood from an intellectual level. Intellectual level means, or somehow I will analyze and understand, I will become the knower of Srimad Bhagavatam. I will become the controller of Krishna. Radharani can't understand Krishna. Krishna cannot understand Krishna. Will we, by our little study of Bhagavatam for a few years, understand Krishna? No. But we can start to understand the personality of Krishna. We can start to understand the personality of the devotees of Krishna and their mood of relationship with Krishna. Otherwise we can go through the Bhagavatam dozens of times and never get it. I knew one devotee, he could chant 3.5 cantos of a Bhagavatam by heart. He could also give all the English translations by heart. But now he has not the slightest interest in Krishna consciousness. So in the future he'll come back. Not the goal of life is not to become a parrot. The meaning of a parrot, Prabhupada points out, is that one picks up this mood. That's what he repeats. Not just dryly picking up some knowledge. When one actually picks up the mood of devotional service, that transfers into the heart of us. Then there's a change of heart. So we want to come in contact with those Vaishnavas who have that mood of devotion to Krishna, because that will change the heart. That is what will give us pure Krishna. Even one moment of such a situation. Because that mood will enter deep into the heart and change our heart. Anything else? Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam ki Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam.